and welcome to today's Raging Bull podcast. We occasionally like to add guest interviews from traders and experts from Raging Bull's Elite Traders Chat Room. In the Raging Bull Elite Chat Room, we hold live trading sessions with Raging Bull's traders, elite members, and our invited guests. These sessions are hosted by our Elite Chat Room host, Hitha Herzog. It's my pleasure now to introduce Hitha and one of our special guests to the Raging Bull podcast.
Elite Room, it's Hitha Herzog, and as promised, I'm here with the amazing Dave Lucas, sporting his amazing quarantine look right now. Dave, how long has it been since you had a haircut?
It's been like almost 6 weeks at this point. So the other day I walked out and said, I'm looking like Wolverine, and my seven-year-old daughter had never seen Wolverine before, and I showed her a picture as no X-Men. And she's like, oh, daddy, you got to become the Wolverine. So this is me in transition to becoming the Wolverine.
Perfect. Well, I mean, Wolverine, who is also an ace when it comes to energy stocks over here at Raging Bull. Dave, clearly we're seeing energy fall off a cliff today. Some are calling it an oil crash. Can you explain to us in layman's terms what is going on? Why are we seeing oil at this point trade at negative $35 a barrel?
Supply and demand. It always comes back to supply and demand with any commodity and oil. And when you shut down the world economy and literally shut down every way that you could use oil for the most part, airplanes, nobody's driving in their cars, everything, that just kills the demand. And coming into it, you had a huge glut of supply being produced to meet the huge demand that was coming in. And then, of course, Saudi Arabia and Russia got into it for the last month or so and haven't cut yet. They're going to cut in May, but they still hadn't cut production. So what you have is this massive oil glut in addition to what the U.S. was doing from around the world. And this is what happens. Too much supply and no demand. And
no demand.
Prices crash.
So at one point, I mean, they were going to cut supply in May, you said. Do you think that they, at this point, will just up that date and just cut supply sooner versus later?
No, I think they'll hold to what they said they were going to do. And then you might see some follow-on cuts after that. But, you know, remember, the Saudi Arabia, it has no problem producing oil really in this range of these prices. It hurts Russia more. It hurts us and our frackers and everybody else in the United States. And so Saudi Arabia, this is how they can take back control of the market and put all these others out of business. And that's the reason they did what they did with Russia in the first place. So, you know, at this point, you'll probably see it start to maybe cut back a little bit more, but I'm not seeing a ton of it. You know, they're going to just start playing off of here. They're going to start cutting. You know, they're not going to stop pumping in Texas. I see calls for that already. Frackers are not pumping at all. Everybody's sitting on the sidelines. Heck, we got oil tankers sitting off the coast anchored up because it's cheaper to keep your oil in a tanker than to bring it to a refinery and refine it. So
that was my next question. I saw somewhere on Twitter, someone was making a joke that if you took your stimulus check for $1,200 and bought oil right now, you'd become an oil baron. And then someone came in and said, well, you'd have to pay for that storage. So at that point, I couldn't, as an investor, just buy a barrel of oil. It would have to sit in my apartment somewhere, right? At this point, be more expensive for me to pay for the storage of that oil than actually getting that oil itself.
Yeah, that, and if you're not a trader of commodities and all that type of stuff, I wouldn't advise trying to become one right now, right? So, I mean, I think the best ways, and don't get me wrong, again, I've said this before, last time oil was at $20 a barrel and it came back up from there. It was 5-6 years ago. We're in it again. I truly believe there's a couple things too that affect it, right? The dollar affects it. So the dollar is higher price. So the price of oil is down. As if the dollar comes down, which we just printed $6 trillion, more is on the way. So the dollar most likely will fall. Oil prices will come back up. Same thing that helps the market too when the dollar goes down, right? So you've got that probably coming in the future that'll help the price. And, you know, the demand will start to pick back up as the world quarantines start to come offline. I'm in Ohio. They're already talking about easing things in May and stuff. And so is it a short-term play? No, it's a long-term play. But I do believe it's a generational opportunity to build wealth. Buying oil through things like the XLE ETF or great oil companies like ExxonMobil that are very diversified in what they do around the world at these prices is fire sale. And if you're willing to hold on to them for a few years, you're going to, you know, maybe get 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 baggers. You know, so.
You were talking about some of the ETFs right now. I think one of the concerns in the room, we're talking about this USO. Yeah. Why is the USO so significant here? They do own, like, I think what someone was saying in the room, almost a third of June contracts.
Right.
What does this mean? And should we, when I say we, clearly it's not me. I can't trade in the room for the SEC. However, when some of our members are trading the USO or holding that, what does that mean? Is the USO going to go away if oil continues to tank? Or in your opinion, do you think that it's something that we should just hang on to?
Yeah, the USO, I mean, USO is the closest you can get to buying a barrel of oil or barrels of oil, essentially, tracking the price. Most likely, they'll just split it 20 to 1, something like that. That's typically what they do with these things. The one thing you have to watch, and I don't think USO is one of the ones that has it, or if it does, it's a very little bit, but you have to watch what's called contango. Okay, you can go look that up, go look up contango. Basically, it's like, think of it like the half-life for these ETFs, where they're like actually always going to zero. And so that's why you see them have to do 20, 25 for one splits every so often, because they're constantly going to zero. Now, if the price is running higher, they're going to run with it. But over time, they're always heading to zero because of what's called contango. And we don't have time to get into everything that affects that here. So you can go look up what that is. So be careful when you're investing in these ETFs that you're not investing in one that has a very high contango, because you're basically competing against yourself in it. Right. So that's the big thing. And I don't think USO is one of those. It more tracks the barrel of oil price. So, to, you know, again, one of the lowest prices in probably 20 years to get into that, you know. Okay. And so if you're a long-term investor and you want to set yourself up and position yourself for the rebound, right, when planes start flying again, when more people are on the roads and all that stuff starts to kick back in, that's going to boost demand. Right. We'll have to go through the supply gut. Once we get through that, though, that's when oil will start to pick back up. And as the dollar probably does fall some, that will help as well.
Okay, so we have some questions in the room right now. Pauline is asking, Dave, how long do you think we have until, Dave, how long do you think we have to hold our crashed oil/gas stocks?
Yeah, so Colleen, you know, it's probably, I think if it's the same Colleen, it's one of the options profit planner students that I know. And, you know, I just had a trade on UCO, which is an oil stock. And I had sold puts at 15 when the stock was in the 20s, and it's crashed all the way down to under $2, you know, and I've got a break even in the $10 or $11 range. I just got put the stock, and it is a contango stock, right? So it's about to split 25 for one, right? That's coming here soon, within the next few days, I think. And so as oil goes back up, it will go with oil, but that is going to continue heading down to zero. So over the next year or so, I'm looking for oil to start to head back up, get back above $20 a barrel, $30 a barrel, and probably that range. I don't think we're going to 60 anytime soon, anything like that. But, you know, as it starts to get into that range, then UCO is going to go up, and I'll have basically gotten myself back to probably some profitability on the shares that I own. And I'll start selling calls on them. That's what I'll do. I'll start selling calls on those shares to make money on it and collect premium.
So UCO, not to be confused with USO.
USO, those of you two different ones.
For those that are in USO, at that point, would you, I don't know if you're holding USO, but should people start bulking up on that position? Do they sell? Do they hold on to it?
Right.
At what point, what do you do? Yeah,
well, if you're in it at this point and held on to it, there's no point, in my eyes, there's no point in selling, because you've already missed the opportunity to sell. You know, I don't see it going down that much lower. Maybe it gets in the $2 range. But at the end of the day, you know, you're getting pretty close to a bottom in oil, I think. You're getting to a point where they're actually paying people to take barrels. You know, once you get to there, that's pretty much where, you know, historically it stops. And so I think that you're pretty close at that already. The next step would be to have the fortitude and the patience to hold on so that it can rebound. Don't take advantage of it. Like that's a hard thing with me with UCL. I can sell calls now, but I know where my break even's at. And I want that to come back up first, even with a split before I start selling those calls. You have to have some of that patience on it. But stocks like, you know, or ETFs like the XLE, ExxonMobil, another one that I really like, and it's little known, but it's a trust and they do really well. They've kept their dividend. They've got a great cash position. There's another one called Energy Transfer Trust, ET, $5-$6 trust. It hangs in that $4-$6 range, sometimes gets up around 10, but it pays like a 20% dividend. So if you've got the shares, you know, it might as well collect the dividend. You can sell calls on it just if you want to pick up shares of that and make some money off of this in the meantime. So there's a lot of those pipeline ones like that that are out there that will pay well and that sort of thing during this time that you can snatch up at bargain price.
ET, XLE, ExxonMobil, XOM. We have a couple more questions, Dave. I know you have to go in 2 minutes. Sure. Adam is saying, hi, Dave. I tried to message you on Twitter, but your account has set to blocked messages. Maybe it's a Twitter account. Anyway, I'll ask here. Could you please discuss your UCO, I think you just did, 15 put trade and a long-term 10-year hold comment in the weekly update. I got assigned 3+ weeks ago on about 1/4 of my UCO 15 puts and the rest last Friday. So I have my UCO shares. Given that UCO is a levered fund, and that's the underlying will suffer from contango. I think you just addressed this.
It's the same thing that I just addressed, but here's what I will say. One of my rules when I trade, and everybody has their own rules, but one of my rules when I sell a put on a stock, I'm willing to own that stock for 10 years. That's my commitment to that stock. Right. And so I don't invest in it unless I say, all right, if I'm wrong, I'm willing to own it for 10 years. Right. And so that's what he's asking about there. But that's my rule. It doesn't have to be yours, but that's how I see it because I'm a long-term thinker, a long-term investor. Right. I believe the tortoise wins over the hare every day of the week. So that's how I operate.
Tiffany has a question here, and I'm going to take one more. What's going on with jet fuel prices? Will airlines go in big on futures and bail themselves out? That's a good question.
You know, I don't know enough of that to really comment. I know they hedge, but they hedge years in advance. This would be a great time for them to lock in and hedge for the future if they have the money to do so. Now, they just got $25 billion, so maybe they can take some of that to do that. But I don't know what the restrictions on that are or anything else. So that's something to watch. You know, it's a good question. I just don't know that much about it.
And then one last question from Michael. Dave Lucas, I thought USA was buying an increasing strategic reserves for DOD. Is that still an option?
They may be. I mean, Trump was out there saying the other day, you know, that oil at $10 a barrel or whatever is a great buy. We should fill up on it. Just like he's saying we should print money at 0% interest because we have 0% interest. Right. So, you know, that's possible. I haven't seen too much on that. I haven't seen a bunch of headlines on that. But, you know, we had pretty full reserves already. So maybe we're adding to it some. And it, you know, at these prices, it would be prudent to do so if you felt you needed to.
Got it. Okay. Dave, I know you have to run. We really appreciate you being in here. After markets doing a little wrap up on what is being called the great oil crash of 2020, I might have just made that up. I don't know if anyone's called
I would say it's the great oil opportunity of 2020 for those that are patient.
Right. You know, let's rename that, right? The great oil opportunity of 2020. Dave Lucas, thanks so much for being in here. I'm Heatha Herzog. I'm the host of the Elite Chat Room here at Raging Bull. Thank you, everyone, for your questions and being in here this afternoon after market. We will see you all tomorrow morning, bright and early. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast. To discover more episodes and to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.